Part 1. Remembrances. Chapter 1. Smoking Earth. Many of us look back fondly at a particular time in our lives when we were the happiest or when life was most carefree. For me, it was those years before I was sent off to school in 1953, when I lived with my maternal grandparents. I assumed that this time would go on forever because for me, days were merely increments in a passage between seasons, and I was blithely unaware that each day represented a step away from childhood. My playground was a 150 square mile area of hills, gullies, meadows, and plateaus that encompassed the Little White River Valley in a northern part of the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation. My playmates were an assortment of dogs, a few cats, and occasionally three very large draft horses. The adventures were of my own making because I could wander and play wherever my imagination and impulse took me. Our house stood on a rise in the middle of an open, treeless plateau, thick with grass and soapweeds. Below and to the west and north was the Little White River Valley. The bottom land on either side of the river was the opposite of the prairie. It was a closed world choked with cottonwood, oak, and willow, and occasional thickets of chokecherry and buffaloberry bushes. It was a world of shadows, whispering breezes, silence, and solitude. On many occasions, I would lose myself there. Walking quietly through the shrubbery and beneath leaves, I would often go for miles and see only a rabbit in the grass or a squirrel in the branches overhead. Hawks soared high above. If I happened to be in the right place at the right moment, I was rewarded with a glimpse of a white-tailed deer. The river itself was, for the most part, an enigmatic old friend. My grandfather called it Makrizita, or Smoking Earth, its ancient Lakota name, though it was labeled the Little White on the maps. It had carved out the valley thousands of years before I was born, its waters traversing through the earth season after season, year after year, eon after eon. It told stories with its calm, soft gurgles. I yearned to understand them, sensing somehow that I was listening to a voice as old as time. Sometimes I would toss a twig or drop a leaf into its current and watch it drift away, wondering how far it would go. I surmised that it would reach the Big White River, knowing that as a chalky stream some distance to the north into which the Little White flowed. My grandfather called the Big White Makaskawakpa, or the White Earth River, and told me that it flowed into the Menishoshe, or Great Muddy, now called the Missouri River. Later I would learn that the Missouri flowed into the Mississippi River, which in turn flowed into the Gulf of Mexico. That the Little White River had those connections was mind-boggling to me later. But as a six-year-old, I was only concerned with what it was in my world. In early spring and early autumn, its cool water sent a mist upward. From a distance, it looked like smoke rising in a valley, thus its Lakota name. In the summers, I would wade in the cool, slightly cloudy water, and in the winter, I would watch it freeze over and become a surface for the game of snow snake. After clearing away any drifted snow, I would slide long, straight willow poles toward a watermelon-sized stone placed around 50 yards away, trying to hit it. With the spring thaw, the ice would break up, cracking loudly, sounding almost at times like distant thunder. Then, the end of the thaw would fill the stream bank with brown, roiling water, reminding me of the giant's frown in the stories my grandmother told. It definitely wasn't friendly then, and I learned to stay away from that angry side of it.